At the beginning of the year, he was known only as the .44 caliber killer, and not by too many people. Someone in 1976 had killed one and wounded four, mostly young girls with long hair, mostly parked in cars. But it wasn't until January 30th of 1977 that police made a connection between the shootings. It wasn't until .44 caliber slugs shattered the windows of John Deal's car in Forest Hills and shattered the life of his fiancée, Christine Freund. Deal will never forget it.
All of a sudden, there's a crash, I turned, and I seen Chris falling like this towards me, And I grabbed, I started screaming, Chris, 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 And then there was one more bang, And like I had her on, I pulled her towards me, and we went down, I went down in my seat, I went down, and I heard one more bang.
Police started looking for a white male, 5'8 to 6 feet, 180 pounds, straight black hair, but they weren't really sure what they were looking for. He struck in the dark of night, popping out of the shadows in the Bronx and Queens. No patterns, no clues. Police were frustrated and fearful of more murders.
We will catch this individual. Our only hope is that we catch him before he does it again. If it means that in order for us to catch him again, he has to hit, we'd rather not catch him.
But he did strike again on March 8th, just yards from where he had killed in January. Forest Hills became gripped in terror. Civilian patrols took to the streets. Women were afraid to go out at night. Teenagers stopped sitting in cars. Police psychiatrist Harvey Schlossberg tried to piece together a profile of their mysterious killer, one that, it turns out, was fairly accurate. When Schlossberg described him as a woman-hater, the killer lost control again. This time, back to the Bronx. This time, two dead and a note. I am the son of Sam, the note declared. I am not a woman-hater. The hunt intensified. The largest task force in police history went into high gear as the city went into high fear. Police blanketed Queens and the Bronx with cops and unmarked cars. The killer fooled them again. On July 31st, he hid in Brooklyn. Stacy Moskowitz died, and her boyfriend was almost blinded by the unexpected hail of bullets. Stacy's mother, Nasa Moskowitz, boiled over with hate for the unknown man who'd killed her 20-year-old daughter.
I hope he suffers for the rest of his life. I hope he never has a minute's peace. I hope he suffers and just eats his heart out with a cancer. Because he's nothing. He's not human. He's not human.
Bensonhurst wanted revenge. They dared Son of Sam to come back. In Central Park, T-shirts went on sale declaring in washable cotton, "Get Son of Sam before he gets you." Stacy Moskowitz was, it seemed, the last straw, and it turned out she was also the last victim. On August 11th, Mayor Beam told the hundreds of reporters gathered at police headquarters,
"I'm very pleased to announce that the people of the city of New York can rest easy this morning because of the fact that the police have captured a man whom they believe to be the Son of Sam."
24-year-old postal clerk David Berkowitz said, "You got me," when police arrested him outside his Yonkers home. He had just walked up to his car, a car containing that .44 caliber bulldog revolver, a submachine gun, and notes from Son of Sam. A car that had been illegally parked on the night of the Moskowitz murder. A car that had been ticketed with a ticket that led police to the man who has admitted he is, in fact, Son of Sam. The reign of terror was over. John Deal was at a loss for words.
"I had tears in my eyes, but I was happy, you know what I mean? And I feel so great that nobody else is going to get hurt anymore now. And I feel very bad of what happened to Chris and all the other girls and the guys that got injured and hurt. We'll never forget about the people that died on this, that this guy fatally put away. We'll never forget him. And, we'll never forget him."
Son of Sam left a trail of grieving parents, amongst them David Berkowitz's own father, 68-year-old Nathan.
"I will live with this heartache for the rest of my life. I am so deeply saddened that nothing that I can say can really express my deep feelings in sorrow for all you parents. Thank you for listening to me. My prayers will be with you all."
A flurry of legal battles over Berkowitz's sanity, who his lawyers were, and a scam or two about supposed tape recordings Berkowitz made while he knows in his heart he is a good person who says he tried to stop killing, but Sam wouldn't let him. Sam tortured him. Sam talked to him through a dog and made him do it. David Berkowitz says he is a victim.
I had nothing against these victims. Who were these people to me? They were just people. I wasn't angry against them.
Who was it doing?
Well, Sam did it through me. He used me. He made me go out there and do it. I did it for him, for blood.
Blood. Blood that spilled in 1977 at the hands of others. And for each killer, someone with something nice to say. A neighbor of Fred Cowan.
He was a perfect gentleman when he talked to me, my husband. He, like, talked to you. He was very nice with us. You know, say hello.
A neighbor of David Berkowitz.
He looked like a nice guy to me. He never bothered us.
Never.
He would always say hello to me and my sister, say, how are you doing? How has it been? But that was it.
Nice guys always said hello. But killers, observed one cop, don't usually go around waving their guns until it's too late.